Okay, good morning. Thank you guys all for calling in. This is Adam Zarenko. I'm the executive director of the Albany County Land Bank, and we are holding the April 2020 board of directors meeting for the land bank, and we're holding it via teleconference in connection with the governor's executive order suspending in-person public meetings. This meeting is being recorded. And it will be transcribed. The transcription will be available later and through the land bank. And so, Charlie, I think I heard we have Charlie Tuohy, our board chair, Pastor Trainum, our vice chair, Sam Wells, our secretary, board member Chris Spencer, and board member Todd Curley. Am I missing anyone from the board? Okay, very good. And then from Land Bank staff, it's me, Adam Zarenko, Will Sekuler, our planning and projects manager, and Erica Gans, our assistant director of operations. Am I missing anyone from Land Bank staff? Okay. Okay, Charlie, we have a quorum if you would like to, if you're prepared to call the meeting to order.
This is Charlie. I'm calling the meeting to order. I guess that's all I got to do, right? The meeting, we don't
Yeah.
Yes. Calling the meeting to order, declaring a quorum, and first item on the agenda is the approval of minutes of March 2020. So do I have a motion to approve the March 2020 minutes?
So I'll make a motion.
Motion.
I'll do second. Any discussion?
There we go.
Discussion, changes, corrections? Jump in if you see something.
They all look good to me.
Very good. Should we call down the roll?
Yep. Oh, you got to do the roll. Okay.
Yep. For the vote. So, Charlie Tuohy?
Yes.
Aye. Pastor Trainum for the minutes?
Yes.
Sam Wells minutes?
Aye.
Chris Spencer?
Aye.
Todd Curley?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes
motion
adopted.
Good.
Good.
Next item on the agenda is review of financial statements. Adam?
Thank you, Charlie. So I circulated the financial statements to the board of directors in the agenda packet that I circulated, I guess over the weekend and again yesterday with some updates. The minutes were presented and adopted through the finance committee with the Land Bank's finance committee, which met remotely via teleconference earlier this week. We largely discussed the potential implications of the COVID-19 pandemic on the land bank's financial stability. For now, we pivoted to operating remotely rather quickly, anticipating that would come down the pipeline. We've done a lot to minimize impact on the sales side. You'll see today on the agenda. We're heavy on the lots. We've been focusing on vacant land as that's easier for us to move along through our process. Also on the agenda is a big one for us is we have applied and were granted a loan for the Paycheck Protection Act, the federal government. That's really going to help us mitigate the impact of COVID-19. Other than that, our cost centers are holding. We haven't had any large unbudgeted costs. I would expect that supply budget line may be a little higher than anticipated, only because we had to distribute equipment to work remotely to some staff members and office supplies and things of that nature. But I think largely for now, we haven't seen the ripple effect from COVID-19 on the financials, and you'll see that board members in the packet on the sales revenue side. We probably won't see it until May and June as we lag about a month behind on or more on the sales approval and closing cycle. So right now, basically, the work that we did pre-COVID-19 is carrying us through, giving us some much-needed momentum on the revenue side. And we'll see how it goes, but hopefully that combined with the Paycheck Protection Act will help us push through to the other side of this pandemic. Other than that, we are working with the Office of the Attorney General and Enterprise Community Partners to spend down our grant money through what's allowable under the governor's executive order, which is largely interventions on properties for safety purposes. So demolitions for buildings that are unsafe, general lot maintenance or things to keep the lots in safe condition, and some stabilizations we'll be trying to program during the quarantine period. Obviously, our contractors have to follow all the rules and guidelines that keep coming out and have been out. An example of that is today we're deconstructing the Rainbow Park structure, the wooden structure on one of our properties that we acquired. We've talked about Rainbow Park in the past. We haven't been able to find a good solution for it despite our multiple efforts. Upon inspection by our field staff, we found the structure to be unsafe, unfit for to be standing. We don't want any kids playing on it, especially since everyone's home. So we're going to take it apart and store it for now. Little things like that, that we're just trying to stay safe and do what we can with what we're allowed to do. So I know I diverged from the financials there, but if anyone has any specific financial questions, I'm happy to answer them on what was circulated. But so far, so good. I guess it's a financial upshot right now.
No, everything is fine, Adam. This is Pastor David. I really do commend you for dismantling the structure at Rainbow Park. I go by there, and every time I look over there, my heart cringes. And so that's a big step, you know, making certain that we're safe. So kudos to you and the team.
Thank you, Pastor Tram.
I agree. I go by the place, too. And I think diplomatically it's better to say we didn't just throw it away. We put it in storage. Didn't tear that.
we're hoping to repurpose it creatively down the future, but as Pastor Trainum pointed out and Chairman Tui, we just safety first, and we just couldn't create a situation any longer where, as soon as we discovered there was some issues with it, we just want to respond right away.
Very good.
Thank you. Any more on the financials? Next item on the agenda is adopting a resolution for the disposal and sale of properties, multiple properties. Do I have a motion?
Pastor David, make a motion.
Okay, second.
Chris Spencer.
Thank you. Presentation by Adam.
So on the agenda for sales this month are 12 properties over 6 municipalities in Albany County, comprised of 4 buildings and 8 lots. As I mentioned earlier, we're focusing on what we can do with what we have, so we're focusing especially on land sales as it doesn't require folks to enter the buildings, which is part of our required application policy. All of these sales have gone through our vetting process to make sure the applications are complete to the best of our knowledge, with the evidence supplied that the financial capacity there is an understanding of the project from the applicants, and these were presented and the recommendations adopted by the Acquisition and Disposition Committee of the Board of Directors, which met earlier this week via teleconference, I believe on Tuesday, to go through all of these sales. And you'll see board members in your matrix, the sales recommendation column, which is really the culmination of that work and some of the follow-ups that we've been doing remotely. Kudos to our staff for pushing these things along while working from home. It's extra challenging, but I will run down the list right now and happy to take questions at the end or during. So without further ado, first up is 167 Second Avenue, which is a residential building in the city of Albany. We are recommending to advance the sale of this building to Mr. Gabino and Mr. White, with CMFY Corp as alternate buyers. Mr. Gabino and White have purchased 67 Ontario from us and are nearly complete and are doing a good job with their rehab. So we believe they'll be able to save this structure, which is a large structure on a very, very visible corridor in the south end next to one of our development clusters. So we're especially focused on making sure this is returned to productive use. 19 Mount Riga Avenue is a residential vacant lot in the town of Colony. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. and Mrs. Welsh. They are the adjacent property owners. This is essentially a paper street that we acquired through Albany County through tax foreclosure. We do get those from time to time. 197 Northlake Avenue and 199 Northlake Avenue are residential vacant lot and residential vacant building, respectively. We want to sell these as a package deal as they're adjacent to each other. We're recommending to advance the sale of both these properties to Patrick Tu. He is going to rehab them and operate them as a rental. 30 Simmons Lane is a commercial vacant lot in the city of, I guess, in the village of Menands. We're recommending to advance the sale of this lot to Eden's Rose. Eden's Rose is the entity, the nonprofit that has purchased and repurposed at least a dozen lots, I believe, at this point in West Hill in support of their community food systems program. We've had quite a difficult time disposing of 30 Simmons Lane as it's got significant environmental constraints, namely DEC-protected wetlands. So we think this is a good use to return this property back to productive use, given all we know about it now. 315 Clinton Avenue is a residential building, a two-family building in the city of Albany's Arbor Hill neighborhood. It's a building that we rehabbed under the Neighbors for Neighborhoods grant from the New York State Attorney General. We're recommending to advance the sale to Ms. Claire O'Connell. Ms. O'Connell, under the terms of the program, will live in one unit and operate the other unit at affordable rental levels for a 20-year period, and that will be set forth in a restrictive covenant on the property sale and in compliance with the Enterprise, which is the Attorney General's grant-funded Neighbors for Neighborhoods program. This is our second of four Neighbors for Neighbors properties to go forward for sale, so we're making progress on that grant. So we're excited to see this property go back into productive use. 60 Sargent Street is a residential vacant lot in the city of Cohoes. We're recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Amelia. Mr. Amelia lives down the street as a primary residence, and we'll just leave it as a vacant lot for now. 614 Clinton Avenue is a residential vacant lot in the city of Albany. We're recommending to advance the sale to Albany Community Land Trust. This will be another vacant lot that we would transfer to the land trust under this sales recommendation to support their Green to Own program. Their Green to Own program, also known as Mow to Own program for board members, purposes of recalling us the last meeting or so, we talked about this. The city of Albany has provided grant funding through ACDA for the program and also was awarded a City's Rise grant to grow the program. And under the program, residents of land trust properties and other neighborhood members will be able to basically maintain the lot and create a pathway to ownership and receive a stipend for doing so. So we're excited to add our properties to this program, especially given the funding that's come around for it. 623 Washington Avenue is a residential building in the city of Albany. This was a lot of applications on this property. We're recommending to advance the sale to Somanan Alari with LaFon and Oscar Saruti as alternate buyers and Muhammad Ali as second alternate buyer. And if you can see in the note from the AD committee's discussion, what this essentially came down to was supporting primary residents, a best and final offer situation, but also making sure that there was a minimum threshold for proposed investment for this particular property and sufficient financial capacity to accomplish all that. And that's how we came to these top three recommendations for posterity. And next up, we have 9 First Street, which is a residential vacant lot in the town of Queemans. We're recommending to advance the sale of this property to Queemans Recycling Center, LLC. the buyer has several other properties they've acquired in the hamlet and are working on a larger redevelopment plan for the community and want to add this property to that. State Route 156 is a large piece of residential vacant land in the town of Knox. We're recommending to advance the sale of this property to Mr. Mulick. Mr. Mulick is the adjacent property owner and would essentially just keep this as the open space land that it is under his proposal. And then 50 Swinton Street, we're recommending to advance the sale of this. This is it's a residential vacant lot in the city of Albany. I believe this is Arbor Hill neighborhood. Recommending to advance the sale to Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams is the adjacent property owner. This would essentially be a side lot sale. That comprises, Charlie, the totality of the sales we had on the agenda for this month.
Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of this disposition resolution? Aye.
Pastor David, aye. Oh.
So I have Pastor Tranum, aye. Charlie?
Aye.
Sam Wells?
Yes, aye.
Chris Spencer?
Aye.
And Todd Curley?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Item 4 is adopting a resolution authorizing executive director to obtain a loan from the Federal Paycheck Protection Program. Motion?
Todd, I'll make the motion.
Second.
I heard Todd.
I'm having Todd making that motion.
I have Todd making the motion, and who was second? I'm sorry. Sam?
You can put
second?
Myself. Yeah, you okay. Can put me down.
Gotcha. Thanks. I'm seeking. Thank you, Charlie. I'm seeking a resolution to essentially authorize entering into a loan agreement with M&T Bank to receive a loan under the terms of the Federal Paycheck Protection Act, also known as the PPP. I'm sure some board members, or if not many, have seen this in the press. It was part of the federal stimulus package in connection with COVID-19. I included a one or two page FAQ about the program in the board's materials, as well as the loan documents, which are executed. I did execute them. I had to in order to comply with the window to receive the Federal Paycheck Protection Act grant money, or sorry, loan money. But essentially what the program is you applied based on your previous payroll, eligible costs included payroll taxes, benefits, and things like rent and utilities for your operation. In our case, as a nonprofit, our office and payroll. And based on a calculation that looks at the past 12 months expenses, then they forecast the next 8 weeks or so, local banks are allowed to loan against that. And providing for that the terms of the loan are met, which are in the packet, but it can only be used on certain eligible expenses, the loan is forgivable. And so we were eligible to borrow $99,900, and that's the amount that we want to borrow. I would recommend borrowing, and we completed the documents for. Our office is setting up a separate account for that money so we can track every penny and document it to make sure that we're eligible for forgiveness. The rate of the loan is 1%. And that's essentially the highlights of the program. The money, we made it just under the wire. The money was depleted very quickly. I think we were one of the last at our bank, which is M&T, to be approved for the program based on what I was told. So, you know, we're excited that we have this opportunity, and it's going to be very helpful for us to get through this. And so I guess, Kate, I'm essentially asking for a resolution for posterity to authorize the loan. So we have it for our files, an official board action, right?
Yes.
And the resolution's included in the board's packet.
Question?
Any questions?
Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
I can call the roll, the vote, Charlie, if that's helpful. So Charles Toohey?
Yes.
Pastor Trainum?
Yes.
Sam Wells?
Yes.
Chris Spencer?
Yes.
Todd Curley?
Yes.
Motion is passed.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Item 5, adopting a resolution approving an option to purchase real estate agreement with the Arbor Hill Development Corporation. Do I have a motion?
Pastor David,
I'll make a motion. I'll second. It's Todd?
Todd, second. Yep, gotcha, Todd.
Okay, discussion?
So I'm seeking a resolution approving entering into an option to purchase real estate with Arbor Hill Development Corporation. A copy of the motion, the agreement is in the board's packet. We were approached probably a month before COVID-19 or maybe a little bit before that by Arbor Hill Development Corp, which is a local development corporation that serves West Hill and Arbor Hill neighborhoods in the city of Albany. They are working on a partnership with some developers to do basically a mixed income. The vision is mixed income, mixed use, affordable housing development, and they're specifically focused on the West Hill neighborhood from First Street, First and Second, from Henry Johnson to Judson, and then there's ultimately over three phases. The third phase is to look at the Lexington Avenue corridor between First and Second. And so we had presented this to the Acquisition Disposition Committee a couple times, and essentially the ask from the land bank from Arbor Hill Development Corp is they want provisional approval for, it's now 16 properties in that kind of H that I just described, the target area, although their vision goes beyond land bank properties. And they want provisional, essentially the right to purchase the properties so they can go after state and other grant funding sources to support the program and eventually the acquisition of the real estate from us. We talked about it at Acquisition Disposition Committee, I think the past two meetings, and had some work to do on it. And essentially at the last meeting earlier this week, it was suggested that we go back and seek an option to purchase, which is what we've drafted up with the help of Kate and the board's guidance here. And one of the considerations, the consideration for the right to purchase the properties is during the time that Arbor Hill Development is doing their due diligence and applying for their grants and formulating their plan and their offer price, is there is a cost to the land bank to hold those properties, both insurance and maintenance, especially since almost all of them are vacant, 15 of the 16 are vacant lots. So we worked up a cost of what our cost is and set that forth as consideration for the option agreement to offset our holding cost during that time of supporting this proposal. So the consideration for the option to purchase is $7,200, and that's the number that's in the option, and that will cover our maintenance costs for the properties during the six-month term, which is as far as this option will go, which puts us in October, I believe. And so that's the central structure. If or when Arbor Hill is ready to purchase the properties under the terms of the agreement, they'll have to come back with a full purchase proposal subject to committee and board review. So this is not a sale of these properties, it's essentially an option to purchase them and offset the maintenance. We talked about perhaps Arbor Hill Development Corp doing the maintenance on the lot, but administratively, especially remotely, that's a challenge for us to manage here. And honestly, I don't think that they could achieve the same cost scaling that we can given our portfolio. So I think this was the best way to structure this based on the feedback we received in our operation. And that's essentially the overview of what we're looking at here. And the exhibit of the properties is in the back of the agreement, almost entirely vacant lots. Now, a day before yesterday, the director of Arbor Hill Development Corp asked if we can add 260 Second to the agreement, which is a building we've had for quite some time. All of these lots have been difficult to dispose of. So we did include it in the option agreement, and that would be a new addition to the property list that we talked to the acquisition disposition committee about. So I want to make sure that that's been flagged too. that's a change between the meetings.
So did I hear that the option is for $200?
No, $7,200.
$7,200, okay. That's your estimate cost to maintain these properties during the option period.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay.
And so if like, for example, if they if there's a property that comes out of the option for some reason before we sign it, we would prorate it back down. But I don't see us changing it. This is what they proposed to us. And that's only maintenance and holding costs. That is not a purchase price. They'll have to come back to make an offer to purchase based on how they value the properties.
Fine. Any other questions?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor, take the roll.
Charles Tuohy?
Yes.
Pastor Trainum?
Yes.
Sam Wells?
Yes.
Chris Spencer?
Yes.
And Todd Curley?
Yes.
Resolution is adopted.
Thank you.
Item 6, adopting a resolution to enter into a contract with CT Mail for engineering services. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I heard Todd. I heard Todd get there first, but I heard Sam. I heard you on. Are you second, Sam? I'm sorry.
Yes. That's okay.
That was in unison. Perfect harmony.
It was. Nice. It's almost like we're all waiting for each other, you know, and all of a sudden we all go at the same time.
That it hit me in the round sound on my headphones. discussion, I have, I'm seeking to enter a resolution to enter into a contract with CT Mail Associates for engineering services. This is a competitive RFP that we put out in January that was due back in February. We've deployed remotely and we've gotten a chance to review the contracts, and CT Mail is the lowest qualified bidder for this procurement. They have done engineering services for us in the past. The types of engineering services this contract will utilize under this contract are things like engineers for demolitions, both proactive and emergency demolitions, stabilizations, both proactive and emergency stabilizations, repair scopes and work, and other assorted uses you would need an engineer for. The fee schedule is included in Exhibit B, but the services range from like $700 to $1,200, depending on the actual engineering services performed under the contract. We've engaged this entity before. They've been responsive and done good work. We have no unfavorable history with them here, and we recommend entering into this partnership. Most of this work, but not all of it, is funded by our Attorney General grant. If it's an Attorney General grant-funded building intervention or property intervention, so some of these costs will come out of the AG funds, and actually some of this engineering work is required in order to use the engineering, enterprise grant funds to do some of this work. So it's definitely a necessary contract for us, and we would recommend entering into this contract.
Any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor, call the roll.
Charles Tuohy?
Yes.
Pastor Trainum?
Yes.
Sam Wells?
Yes.
Chris Spencer?
Yes.
Todd Curley?
Yes.
Motion is passed.
Thank
you.
New
business?
No new business.
Executive Director report.
We're working on the only things I have is, you know, we're working remotely. We've been slowly but surely picking back up things outside our core operations, like sales and property maintenance and building stabilizations and demolitions are all, we're trying to spin those back up. We've re-engaged on the RFQ for the South End development clusters. The respondents have all indicated that they want to stay involved, and so we've been having we're almost completed with our evaluation of the RFQ responses, which included Zoom interviews with the leadership of the teams that proposed. We have I'm trying to keep it high level but also open competitive. So we have several teams. The teams that responded are qualified to do it, more than one are at least, and so it's good for us because we're in a competitive situation. We think that we'll have the scoring done, finalized by the end of this week, and what we'll do for next steps is compose a memo to the board of directors with our selection committee's recommendation and why, as it relates to the evaluation criteria set forth in the RFQ. And, you know, I'm thinking we should set up maybe even a Zoom, some sort of wait for maybe the AD committee or any interested board members to have a presentation from the recommended development partners to ask questions and clarifications and things like that. And then, you know, whether through a committee or board structure, the next step would be to provide a notice of intent to engage, and then we would work on the final master development plan, which would be essentially the legally binding document that governs the relationship between a land bank and a developer. So we're making progress. We're picking it back up. We're excited about it. More to come. But that's how we spent a big chunk of last week pushing through those. And it's encouraging that people, you know, especially in the environment that we're in right now and the unknown uncertainty, is that people are still interested in pursuing this type of large-scale development. So we're stepping it one step at a time. And then we are working on getting some new acquisitions because we do want to keep – we do want to honor the properties the county had approved to us. There's about 37 properties. We talked a little bit about it at the AD meeting this week. Most of them are in the towns and cities outside of Albany. There's a couple of Albanys in there. Based on our pre-acquisition work, pre-COVID-19, these are strong properties for our portfolio, including some land which we could turn around. So we're going to we sign those documents for acquisition and hope to get those in maybe end of this week, early next week. Obviously, the county is focused on COVID-19, and those things are moving slower, but understandably so. Rainbow Park, we talked about earlier. I just want to make sure that's on everyone's radar. We have no other choice, really. It's the right thing to do in terms of safety. And those are pretty much the key updates from my end. Unless anyone has any questions, I think that's just the items I had on the agenda for this month, Charlie.
Yeah, things are pretty smooth here. We're getting the hang of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing we're able to continue like this. So a tribute to the land bank staff and the board. And someday down the road, people are going to recognize how well run this operation is.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Our team, much credit to our team who reports in every morning. We get on Zoom, we teleconference, we set the tone for the day, and stay in touch with each other. So it's a team effort for sure.
Any other comments? Okay, we'll see when our board meeting is. Probably virtual again.
Yep.
My hair is getting very long.
Yeah. May 19th, save the date. I'll try to get an invite on the calendar. We're assuming remote. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised, but we'll plan for remote and hope for the best. And other than that, if anyone has any specific questions or follow-ups, I'm always available. Please feel free to contact me. But those are all the items I have today.
Okay. Motion to adjourn.
Pastor David, motion made.
Second, Chris Mentor.
Okay.
All those in favor, take the roll.
Charlie? Charles Taylor?
Yes. Yes.
Pastor Trainum?
Yes.
Sam Wells?
Yes.
Chris Spencer?
Yes.
Todd Corley?
Yes.
Fantastic. Record time.
Thank you.
I hope you guys all look stuck. 37 minutes.
Pretty good.
Good job.
We're getting better. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thanks to my team for helping with the work, and thank you to all the board members for making the time. And thanks, Kate. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. Reach out if you have any questions. Be well. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks. Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Be safe.